Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. As anyone who spent time in a bookstore knows, there's no such thing as just a children's book. There are board books for the youngest readers, picture books, chapter books, young adult novels, and then there's middle grade fiction. In some ways, that last category is the hardest to define because middle graders themselves change so much in such a short period of time. A good case in point are authors Greg Trine and Stephen Arntzen, whose novels are both middle grade fiction adventure novels, but feel vastly different. Trine's Will He Make It in Space is aimed at the younger edge of the group, kids in second and third grade. Arntzen's The Trap has elements of history, social justice, and even higher mathematics, and it could easily appeal to adult readers as well. Both writers were in Milwaukee recently for an event called Middle Grade Mania, and they chatted with Mitch Tyke. Trine talked about figuring out his audience.
I automatically go for the younger, and maybe that was because I had 12 books for very young kids. And in fact, I wrote this one as what they call early chapter book, and they came back and said, no, we want this in the middle grade category. Can you double its size? Which is really hard to do. How do you write something without padding it in that case? But so I think that's probably why I tend to go young.
What were the stories that kept you each turning pages when you were that age, you know, somewhere between 8 and 12?
Well, I was definitely actually just today thinking about the Madeleine L'Engle books, Wind in the Door and Swiftly Tilting Planet and
Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, I really loved that series. I think that was one of the first books I ever read where I remember finishing it, and I remember where I was, and I remember closing the back cover and just being like, wow, things are not going to be the same.
And for me, I kind of grew up in a household of boys that were non-readers, so I really kind of didn't discover reading until I was about 35. But
What do you think? I mean, because that's an issue with I gather a lot of boys. I guess that at least two of us in here accepted. But you know, what is it that you think keeps boys from wanting to read more? And do you think what you're doing is maybe working against that tide?
For me, it had to do with my parents were non-readers. I mean, if I was a kid who was brought into the parents' lap and told stories, I probably would have fallen in love with reading right off the bat. And but as far as the other question, I think my number one bit of fan mail comes from mothers of reluctant readers. So it's kind of cool. I think I'm writing to my childhood self in a way. So yeah.
As I was reading both of these books, it struck me that they probably draw much of their appeal from opposite edges of the middle grade spectrum, which maybe speaks to the trickiness of the age group. I mean, a lot can go on in a young reader between when they're 7 or 8 and when they're 11 or 12. You know, do you worry about people just aging right through your books?
I have had this issue of my books somewhat fall in a crack between middle grade and YA. And these are not demographics that I even knew about before I started writing these things. But my publisher has somewhat gone back and forth about how to define them. My previous book with Houghton Mifflin was called The Wrap-Up List, and it was considered YA. And this one, The Trap, is considered middle grade. And I don't know. Yeah, I am very perplexed by it.
Well, and it seems like, you know, a good story is a good story, and maybe, you know, the need for labeling something middle grade is just a sort of subtle signal that, you know, there are some things that just aren't going to happen in it.
Mm-hmm. I was joking around with my wife about that distinction, and we decided that really the thing about YA is there's got to be angst. The books just have to have a lot of angst. Lots of characters embroiled in deep wells of self-doubt. And if your book is more playful, then it has to be middle grade. And I don't really like angst that much, so I think I'm more trending towards middle grade. Yeah.
Well, Greg Trine, I mean, you said before this you were largely writing for even younger readers. So you're actually in a position where the kids that might be reading Will He Make It are ones that had actually read your earlier fiction, right?
Right. So I think, well, you know, middle grade is probably where I'm going to stick. I do have one YA that was very well ignored, but I think that was kind of a young YA. And in my chapter books, my early chapter books were kind of older early chapter books. So I think all along it was kind of pointing me to this 7 to 9 or 8 to 12-ish range. So
I want to touch, you know, at least briefly on what goes on in these books. Stephen Arntzen, the Trap is set in small town Iowa in 1963. This is a time when a lot is going on in the country, but most of it isn't necessarily going on in small town Iowa, at least in an obvious way.
Yeah, that's true. And that was an interesting aspect of writing the book. It was the first period piece I'd done where I went and did research. And there is a plot thread in the book about the main character's father being out of work because he works for the rail line. And I had stumbled onto that because I was trying to find out more about the March on Washington in 1963. And when you look at old newspapers, that March on Washington shares headline space with this rail strike. And it's amazing. I never would have thought. But that was a way in which I made this connection between Iowa and the middle of America and what was going on elsewhere in the country.
Well, and I think you've also done a nice job of connecting something that was going on in those days with a very modern morality kind of issue. I mean, the dad is losing his job and he kind of lays the blame at how times are changing around him in a not so different way than we hear today.
Yes, and for me, it is a very contemporary book in that regard too. These are issues that are maybe more significant now than ever, and we need to grapple with them. And so, for me, a part of that is trying to write a book about it. That helps me, and I hope it might help somebody.
Did the issues come first for you in crafting this book, or was it the adventure itself?
Oh, definitely the adventure. Yeah, adventure is always first when I'm trying to write something. I have to feel like the book is going to be exciting or I won't be interested enough to write the whole thing. And then the issues just spill out of that adventure. I mean, it's a sort of natural process, I think. I don't necessarily sit down and think, what are the issues going to be? You know, but they come out of the characters as the characters come alive in the book and it populates it.
Greg Trine, the monsters in Willie Make It are not metaphorical ones. They are real monsters made up real monsters who inhabit the fictitious world of Planet Ed. And the first question my daughter asked when we got to the end of this book was whether there are other Willie Make Its. And I gather there are not yet.
There aren't. And in fact, I submitted this, like I said, I submitted it as a younger book, but as a series. And they said, no, we don't want series. And part of that is financial. It's kind of a risk to take on a series for a publisher. And what they would rather see is a successful single title. And then they'll say, okay, let's follow that up with a sequel. So it's really, it may go to a second book, but we're waiting to see what happens.
The big question is, will he make it?
Yeah, exactly.
You have written other series books, as we said, the Melvin Biederman Superhero and Adventures of Joe Schmo. Is there something you enjoy in particular about working in that way? And was there something that when you first envisioned this as a series for younger readers, was there something that Willie Make It allowed you to do that the others did not?
The Melvin Biederman thing, I thought back then that there were actually chapter book single titles, of which there really aren't. And I submitted it as a single title, and they said, yeah, we like this, but it was going to be a series. And I went, what? And so I didn't intend to do a series, and then I just had so much success with series. I said, hey, series is selling. That's the way I'm going to sell this title. And then they came back and said, nope, we want it to be twice as long. So
how did you go about doing it? It needed to be twice as long, twice as many adventures on Planet Ed? Or
Well, one of the things that happened is when I submitted it to my agent, she said, no, I don't like the father story. I don't like the bird. And she had me cut basically like a third of my early chapter book. And
then so now it has to be like six times as long.
What the editor saw was all that stuff removed. And so when the editor came back and said, hey, we want this to be twice as long, I took everything that the agent said leave out and I put it back in. And the editor was fine with it. So kind of makes you wonder.
That's good that you did that extra work in the beginning.
So yeah, it helped me get there. So it got me like half the way there. And then it just, I think the first series, I had to kind of wrap up the story. Whereas since it was a series, I said, okay, I'll just leave them hanging at the end of the first book because the whole series could be Willie Make It and Make trying to get home, you know. But since they said single title, I said, okay, he has to get home in that one book. So,
and if it is a series, he just has to go away again.
Right. Another adventure, either on Earth or not. So,
How did the Trap change from when it first coalesced in your head to what's out today?
Well, I kind of shoot from the hip when I write. And so I when I started, I didn't have much of a plan. I kind of had a vague sense of adventure, and I wrote 50 pages of it and sent it to my editor. And she said, you know, I just don't think this is the book. Like, you should try something else. And I was like, no, I really believe in this. So then my next step was to just cut that 50 pages and start at page 51. So page 51 is now page one. And the same happened with the end. I am big on revising. I revise a lot and change things massively as I'm – I was just reading something that Dave Foster Wallace said the other day. He said writing fiction – he didn't say it the other day, but I read it.
Right.
He said writing fiction is like trying to maneuver sheets of balsa wood in a high wind. And that is so true to me. I just couldn't get over it. I'm never going to forget that quote.
When all is said and done, what do each of you most hope your young readers do after they finish your respective books, besides maybe turning out the light and going to bed? Maybe that's what I hope they do anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. I guess part of me hopes that they will have enjoyed it enough to write their own story. And that is one of the plot threads in The Trap, is the idea of the main character kind of starting to become interested in writing. And I do – the same thing happened to me when I was a kid. That was kind of how I came to reading, was reading books that inspired me. And I was like, I'm going to write my own stories. And so I would love to see that happen. I would be very gratified.
Greg Tryon?
And related to that would be to get them to be readers. You know, that's what I missed out on as a kid. And if they do become readers, they could take the next step and do what Stephen said, is write their own stories. So, yeah.
It's a powerful job you have. I mean, being in a position where you really can, in a small way, shape the rest of someone's life.
Yeah, and every once in a while, like I said, get a letter from a kid, even in my case, it's a third grader, saying, you are my favorite author. It's like, wow.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Really great.
And what's the most rewarding thing? What's the most rewarding feedback you get?
Definitely kids who have read the books. I'm supposed to stop calling kids, young adults.
Middle graders who have read your
book. I work on my terminology. A couple times I've gone to do classroom visits where a whole class of kids has read the book, and those have been amazing experiences for me. I'm just so touched that everyone read it, and these young adults firing questions at me about the book that show how deeply they've thought about some of the issues that were raised. And it was just an amazing – to me, it's just astounding to see what kinds of communication can happen through fiction.
Well, I truly enjoyed getting lost in both the Planet Ed and 1963 Iowa in your respective books. Greg Tryon, Stephen Arntzen, thank you so much. Congratulations on the new books.
All right, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Arntzen's new novel is called The Trap. Greg Tryon is author of Will He Make It in Space. They spoke with Mitch Tyke while they were in Milwaukee this month for an event celebrating middle grade fiction. Incidentally, Arntzen is also a Seattle-based musician. The music we're hearing now is from his best of collection called Concertina Music 2005 to 2010.